I've got cheese. I've got the fruit. Here's my cheese.
The worst thing about backpacking is cramming 7 days of food into a hard plastic bear can, all the while knowing you're going to have to carry it on your back for the next week. There are 8 of us backpacking to Ray Lakes in Kings Canyon National Park. We start hiking at a place called Onion Valley, which is a huge granite bowl in the eastern Sierra. 3 magnificent cascades tumble out of the mountains, which soar high above. We strap ourselves into our PTDs, or personal torture devices, which most people call backpacks, and we start jamming up the trail. Roland Carlson is the graybeard of the trip. He's been hiking for 27 years, and he says if he doesn't get goal-oriented about getting to the top, then he does just fine.
Other times, and I don't have any idea why, I'll just get kind of down, and then I have a awful time getting there. And I'll say to myself, you stupid idiot, get back into where you should be. I'll breathe in one of my steps, and that helps my mind just kind of just go with the flow.
My mind doesn't go with the flow. It starts cataloging the parts of my body that hurt. Spine, shoulders, lungs, calves, little toes, head, and lips. And just to rub it in, at the top of the pass, I run into Stephanie Blackmore of San Diego, not a member of our party.
We ended up camping last night and found an awesome trail, which is this one, and just decided to go hiking, and here we are. Now we're taking off.
Do you realize you just climbed like 2,800 feet or something like that?
Is that a lot? Is that like, yeah, I guess we conquered something.
For the rest of us mere mortals, climbing mountains with a 50-pound pack usually conquers us. The second day is the toughest. We're climbing our most forbidding pass, taking us 4,000 feet higher than where we started yesterday. Glen Pass is no more than a slight lowering in a wall of 13,000-foot mountains that we ascend by seemingly endless switchbacks. At the top, the trail goes over a knife edge and descends across a slope so steep it drops away into apparent nothingness. For the last 2 weeks, we've been checking conditions on the internet. The pass is open, but snowbound. By the time we get there, black clouds are threatening overhead. At this elevation, thunderstorms can drop temperatures up to 30 degrees in a few minutes. We have to get down fast, but Dee Kirkhouse, a writing teacher, has altitude sickness, and Michael Thornton, who maintains the computer network in Yosemite, is nursing a fear of heights.
So how does it look?
Steep. Very steep.
So you scared?
Oh yeah, a little. Maybe more when I get out there.
You going to lead?
Am I going to lead? No. I thought you were.
Well,
I think Roland's taking the lead, or Rick.
I led once.
I start to think we're about to enact our own version of John Krakauer's book Into Thin Air. Under the joking is real fear. Inching her way down the snowfield with experienced hiker Karen Najarian for support, Dee Kirkhouse almost freezes up.
Whoa, someone went way through here.
Yep.
Careful now. How you guys holding up?
Yeah. Maybe Dee wants to take a sit down here for a minute.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea.
Karen.
Dee, why don't you come over and just sit on the rock for a minute?
Okay.
Rest those wobbly knees.
Doing just great.
It takes about 2 hours, but we get down safely just before the rain sets in. Hiking veteran Roland Carlson.
You spend much time here, pretty soon you're going to have your humble lessons, whether it's a storm or whatever it might be, that we're not the center of the universe. We're just one more critter in the wilderness.
The descent from Glen Pass brings us to our destination. The Ray Lakes Basin is a wonder of the Sierra Nevada. A mountain called Painted Lady is colored like a pebble you might pick up on the beach and turn over in your hand, marveling at the blackness streaked with orange. Dragon Peak rears an ugly face like a Gila monster, and the Ray Lakes, fed by waterfalls of snowmelt, are like a necklace of little blue jewels. The sun has come out, and it's warm enough to make the water look tempting.
How's the water, Karen?
Huh?
How's the water?
very nice.
Really, or just sort of?
Well, after you get numb.
Oh, good.
It's kind. It's cold as hell. Fire! I'm getting out of here.
When we started the trip, not everyone knew each other, but after a few days of crawling out of sleeping bags under the same sunrise and washing grime off in the same lakes, we're pretty close. The worst of the hiking is over. We move camp each day and spend time doing what each of us loves to do here in the wilderness. For me, that's scrambling up to the nearest peak to find the best view. But Rick Najarian skips the peaks because they lack a crucial ingredient.
I intend to troll the deep lakes for train killers.
Down in the flatlands, Rick is a rational scientist, but at 10,000 feet, he subscribes to the religion of fly fishing.
Notice the wind come up as soon as you do this. You see that? I have an agreement with God. I take out my fly line and he brings the wind up so it's harder to cast. Now you see this trout right here?
Yep.
In front of us?
Yep.
A few feet off, I spot a 6-inch trout idling around in the clear water looking for food.
I'm going to put that fly there, and he hits it, and he's caught. See? Now that's a dumb trout there. That's a 5-second fish right there.
A few 5-second fish, and you have supper. Rick hands some fish over to John Brennan. John is a technical writer, one of the strongest hikers, and the most creative cook in the group. His specialty is making feasts out of food harvested in the mountains.
That is vermouth, soy sauce, balsamic vinegar, and a little fish sauce, Filipino fish sauce.
Did you know you were going to make this meal before you left home?
No. I bring it along because it's pretty good for just about anything.
Besides a few fly-hungry fish, these mountains are home to an assortment of other animal and plant survivors. Locked up for 8 months of the year in snow, it takes some fancy footwork to stay alive here. The rosy finch ekes out a living by picking frozen insects off snowbanks. Sky pilot is a little blue flower with the fragrance of lilac. It only grows on passes so high and windswept that the snow doesn't build up there. Summer in the mountains is short, and all of the flowers bloom together.
You've got the orchids.
The rain orchids.
The amazing,
beautiful columbine.
Columbine.
And there's also Indian paintbrush in there. It's wonderful. And this is all within places about 3 or 4 feet.
Tucked underneath this rock.
Yeah, a little Sierra garden.
People have been spending the summer in these mountains for thousands of years. Prehistoric Indians came up hunting deer and gathering roots and grasses. They held trading festivals in the alpine meadows, exchanging goods like obsidian arrowheads and pine nuts with people from the other side of the mountains. Even now, people live here during the summer. Vance Vredenburg spends 4 months every year studying the endangered yellow-legged frog. He says when you stay here a long time, you notice the details.
This basin is filled with waterfalls. But what's really interesting is that they all sound a little bit different. And depending on where you are and how the wind's blowing, just like that, you heard it, all of a sudden it got quieter. And all of a sudden you'll hear a new waterfall from some other direction that'll sort of, I don't know, surprise you a little bit.
The mountains are full of sounds you wouldn't hear anywhere else, like the musical sound of footsteps on loose granite. And the haunting sound of wind blowing through the holes of a metal walking stick. It's our sixth and last full day. We're all feeling pretty strong by now, and we're not in a big hurry to leave. We've forgotten about our jobs and found a natural rhythm in which time itself seems to slow down. We almost feel as if we could hike forever. Writer and photographer Karen Najarian dreamed up the trip.
The time is full. Even just walking up this pass, every grain of dirt and every rock, every plant, every photon of light on my skin, it all speaks to me. Each moment.
Later that day, hiking on the trail, we get caught in a huge rainstorm. We huddle under a small tarp strung between trees and play word games and make tea to pass the time. We don't have our tent set up. We're cold and tired and we feel exposed. And for a moment, we're reminded again of the risks of being out here. The fact that far from our electronic toys, we're dependent on our own resources and on each other for our safety. But it's that simplicity that we come for. It's just us and the mountains and the weather. In Kings Canyon National Park, I'm Robin White for the Savvy Traveler.
Oh, give me land, lots of land under starry skies above. Don't fence me in. Let me ride through the wide open country that I love. Don't fence me in. Let me be by myself.